hearts and uplift hands, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Father, we come in respects to your word, Lord, and we are thankful, Lord, that you've put it in our hearts and our minds to come, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
It could have been different.
Yes.
Father God, we love you, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And we praise your name and we glorify your name.
Yes.
And so, Father, we ask you now, Lord Jesus, to take the man of God, out of the way, who's bringing the word forth.
Yes.
And let us see you, Lord.
Yes.
Let us not see our brother, but let us see you.
Yes.
Grant it, O God.
Yes.
Father God, we are thankful, Lord Jesus, that all is well with us.
Yes.
Even when we are low,
yes,
we still go high, and we are thankful that all is,
yes,
well. In your precious name. Father God, we ask you, Lord, for those that are coming, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Bring them safely.
Yes.
Those that can't make it, bless them anyway, Lord.
Yes.
And let your word come forth, Lord. For, yes, Father, we're thankful for all things.
Yes.
And we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's turn, if we would, to our Bibles, to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, starting with verse 1. First John chapter 4, starting with verse 1, and the scripture reads, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Amen. The Lord adds blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. So, continuing on with the spirit of Antichrist and the scripture here, the basis of it, Antichrist being anti-word, anti-word being against Christ. And when we say the word, we're talking about the fullness of the word by spirit and in truth. So we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. So the word, apart from the spirit, you cannot take them apart. So they both go together. And so, therefore, if you look in John chapter 1, the Logos is spoken of, and that is the word including the thought, and it is the entire mind of God. And so this is against the thought of God. And so there are two spirits that are always moving and have been since the beginning of time, is the spirit of God and the spirit of the devil. And so this spirit of the devil is the spirit of Antichrist, so it's against Christ. And so any movement from the Antichrist spirit is taking away from the thought, the original thought. You understand what I'm saying? So the original thought and mind of God. And so who has known the mind of Christ? And so this mind of Christ is what God wants instilled in us. And it's totally different from the carnal thinking and the carnal mind. So we in this flesh, corruptible man and corruptible mind, corruptible thoughts. And so when we lean towards this flesh or this understanding in the mind, then we're getting away from Christ. And so we are trying, by God's grace, to get ourselves out of the way so that our minds are in tune with Christ. So everything that we do to try to find the mind of Christ has to be totally yielded, everything, to that spirit. Every thought, every desire, every unction has to be submitted totally to Christ in order for us to follow that way. The sons and daughter of God are led by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
So we've got to catch that spirit, Now I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 6 once again, just to instill this, chapter 6 verse 12, this thought about the spirits, because we are fighting a spiritual warfare. So Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So we're wrestling not against people. We're wrestling against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. In some, we're fighting against spirits. And so spirits is something we cannot see. God is a spirit. We cannot see God. Neither is a devil. We cannot see the devil. So we've got to be able to discern by spiritual eyes what is happening. Now, but there is an attribute, there is a characteristic, there is a nature of God, there's a nature of the Antichrist spirit or the nature of the devil. And so sometimes when we take Antichrist, we are talking about the spirit of the devil that has manifestations. So in the beginning, in the first church age, it was more of an Antichrist spirit. As Brother Branham says, it was like a teaching spirit moving within the framework of the church. And then as it began to get hold, then it became a false prophet. Then it became the beast. And so there is a definite progression that that spirit makes in coming to more and more of manifestation, more and more of taking control, more of taking power, more of revelation of what we can see. And so it started moving in, and it was described in the Ephesian church age in Revelations chapter 2 as starting in the deeds and so forth, and it was just trying to separate the laity from the clergy. And so it moved in that way. Now, the Spirit of God moves in the same way as far as a manifestation. So it starts in the Spirit and then moves into full manifestation, and so incarnate, the Spirit of God in the form of a man. So the devil is trying to get himself eventually incarnate in the form of a man. God in parallel doing the same thing. So you can see the parallels there. Now, I'm going to read this from the seal of the Antichrist. "Not because we danced or was happy or shouting, that doesn't mean it. The fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, patience." That's it. People can shout, dance in the Spirit, and hate their neighbor, refuse to speak to one another. That's right. I don't want to hurt you, but it must be told. Now, to further talk about this separation, because the devil is trying to separate brothers and sisters. And so remember in that quote, Brother Branham makes this statement that the Antichrist spirit will make the church formal and powerless, lukewarm. So taking the power out of it, now I believe it's either Timothy or Thessalonians talking about in the last days, people would be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, and saying, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And so the devil is trying to get people to be deceived and thinking that they're worshiping God, they have a religion, they are doing the right things, but they are worshiping the devil rather than God. And so in Satan's Eden, the message, he says that he has got so many people deceived and thinking they're worshiping God, but they're actually worshiping the devil by the way that he has deceived them. So we know that he's working in the church. We know that he's working amongst brothers and sisters. And so we are trying to see that. Now he says in the restoration of the bride tree, we talked about how the progression. So talking about the different forms, Antichrist, false prophet, beast. Talking about white horse, red horse, black horse, pale horse. And the progression. And so remember the last horse is all the powers combined. So in the first one, deceptive, quiet, teaching. And then the red horse, he began to get political power. So he began to take power in the form of a sword, using political power to kill all the Christians, right? Using Rome. But then he mixed that up and he turned it into the black horse, combining political and religious power. And so now coming into the church and having control in the church and combining those two powers together, so controlling the gateway for, to heaven and to hell and everything that's on earth. And so that was talked about as a black horse in the Dark Ages. So it was totally black almost, right? And there was a very small remnant. But now he's taking all those powers and moving it into the time that we live in right now. And it's a very deceptive, but he's using all of those powers together. So it says here, now he talks about the palmer worm, the canker worm, and the or the locust, the canker worm. Now the first was a palmer worm, little bitty insect of a worm. What did he do? The palmer worm, he come along to destroy the fruit of the tree. That's the first thing. So he said here, now let's go back in history and see what the first thing was a dignified group, God amongst the common people. And so now he started to get in to try to make a separation here amongst different people, different classes of people. And so making people believe that the clergy knew more than the laity, and they had more of the power, they had more of a distinction than the rest of the church. Now he says here, first thing, the first fruit he took off was brotherly love. So in this little bitty worm that seems small, it started to take up brotherly love. And so when you began to eat at brotherly love, then you began to take, you began to separate. Because if you have love, then you want to be with each other. You want to overlook differences. You want to overlook the faults and failures. You want to overlook the things that people might have done wrong or mistakes that they have done to you. So he took that brotherly love. And so now without love, then now you begin to separate. And so you begin to think differently of another brother. Now, Brother Branham makes a statement. He said, you know, sometimes we have differences what we believe. We believe this, we believe that. But he says we should all move the church in harmony. And so that is the most important thing, to have the church in harmony and love. And as we're going along, then God will work out these things. But he began to take this out. That's one of the things that kills a church right there, or brotherly love. So when you see in the congregation that brotherly love begins to move out, then you've got to question what spirit is moving in amongst us. And began to pray and say, Lord, you know, help. Now remember, the scriptures are always true, and they always fulfill themselves. If we have faith in them, if we have believe them, remember they do us no good unless that we believe them and truly have faith in them. So in the scriptures it says, love conquers all. Love conquers a multitude of sins. And so we don't just take that statement as something that is nice to know, but it is something that we hold true as a believer. And so when we see these things begin to move into the church, then we ask the Lord to help us to love one another more. How does the love of God increase? Read the Word and pray. And so the closer that we get to the Lord, then the more our love begins to grow. Remember in the message, Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed, he talked about love one another. And he talked about the different things that would try to creep in amongst the church, shoot this poison into somebody, and then they do this and that. He says, just cling that much closer together. So the remedy for the situations that occur when brotherly love starts to go is to love one another more. And so when we have an ill feeling to somebody and we don't really want to be around that person, then that's a lack of love. Now, I'm going to read something in the message, Desperation. He says this, when the wife was about to die with cancer, he's talking about a situation, he knowed that God could heal her. If God could heal the wife, God could heal the boy. It throws it into a state of desperation, see? You must come, and when you're desperate, then God's going to listen to you. If you're haphazard or you don't care that much, God's not really going to listen. So when we have prayer and You know, we say we pray, but if we don't do it in desperation, then God will not earnestly hear us. So he says here, but if you're just slothful, you don't care whether he does or not, well, then that's different. You say you do, but it takes desperation to do that. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so because many of us earnestly prayed for the situation for our brother that was in jail, and because we were praying in desperation and earnestness and crying in tears, and then God began to move. But if we do it like some type of checklist, or we don't care, we do it like some routine, then this is what he says about it. I believe that the reason we don't have desperation because it's a lack of love, the love of God. I think that the love of God causes desperation. If God is in you, the token inside of you, and you see the conditions of times and people waiting in sin the way they are, it'll throw you into desperation. I believe it will. And so we see the conditions of the times. We see the conditions of different people that we know. We see the conditions of the congregation. It should throw us into desperation. So what I'm saying, I'm pointing at myself too. You know, we all do not have enough love flowing through our life. And so in order for us to do that, we've got to yield ourselves more to God. And so remember, if we have the Spirit of God, it's a matter of yielding ourselves to that Spirit that's within inside of us to project itself. And so that love, remember, when it's projected, then grace comes in. And so remember, there's different situations where it seems impossible, and we've talked about some of them, but when love is projected, when God comes on the scene, then he overrides the situation and makes a way of escape. Amen. He says this, now the word plainly states, if you want to put this down in Galatians 5 and 6, that faith worketh by love. So we want more faith, we've got to have more love. Because faith works by love. Amen. See, faith worketh by love, and the only way that you can have faith is to have love first. Now, he's going to explain this a little bit more in depth so we understand this more clearly. Because after all, faith is love's incentive. Incentive, that's exactly what faith is. It's an incentive to love. Now, if you don't have love, you can't have faith. How can you have faith in your wife if you don't love her, right? You have confidence, you trust her, you love her. So that love builds that faith and that confidence, even though she makes mistakes. She burns the food or whatever it may be, or she, you know, whatever the case may be, but when they're in a situation or they have faults, they have failures, it is love that overrides that. And in love, you still believe in your wife. You still believe in your spouse. You still believe in your husband. You still trust your husband or wife. Now it says here, what about agapo to God? How can it be if you don't love God? If you said you love your wife and never tell her about it and never sit down and make love to her, express it to her, kiss her, hug her, and tell her she's the best cook in the country and all the things that you know and how pretty she is and how much you love her. If you don't do it, that she'll never know it. That's the way. If you do love her, you express it. So if we love God, we express our love to God. If we love one another, we express our love one to another. That's the way we do to God. When we love him, we tell him about it. We sit down and we adore him and worship him and see, love drives us to that. Now, what if something's got to be done for your wife? Why it throw you into desperation to get it done? Put up the blinds. Do you get thrown into desperation? I got to put up the blinds for my wife. I need to move that furniture for my wife. Throw you into desperation, right? We ought to trying to keep things light a little bit here. So we have those things, and sometimes we're tired, but he says that if we love our wife, it should throw us into desperation. What if somebody says your wife's got cancer? What if somebody says your wife's got TB and she's fixing to die? Yet you do anything. See, it'll throw you into desperation. That's the same thing that it is. We must have love before we can have faith. And faith, when we have genuine love, what does it do? It pushes our faith out on the battlefront for God. Genuine godly love for God and for His Word and for His people will push faith out there. Love just takes a hold of faith and just that's all. Let's go and go. Out it goes because that's what love does. John 14:23, Jesus says, if a man loves me, he'll keep my words. Now you can't keep his words without having faith in what he said. So how do we obey the Lord is through love because we love him and then we want to obey him. We want to please him. It's not because we're afraid we're going to go to hell or afraid that he's going to do something to us, but it's love that drives us. It's so much better when, you know, a relationship to please one another when there's love there. When it's a legalistic relationship where you must do this or, well, you must do this or, you know, when you have that type of agreement before you get married, what kind of a marriage is that? But if you have true love one another, you want to please the other one and the other one wants to please you and it just feeds into each itself and it just builds a harmony. He says this, so you see, if he loves God, then he keeps God's word. If he said, I'm the Lord that healed thee, he believes that. Love makes him believe it because love dominates all. Though I speak with tongue of man and angels and have not love, it's nothing. See, though I have faith to move mountains and have not love, it's nothing. And so when we look at our brothers and sisters, we ought to have faith in one another. Because if we have love for one another, then we'll have faith in one another. And then we'll trust one another. And then, you know, all these other things dissipate. You know, the thing that we'll never be successful if we distrust one another. We always have doubts about one another. We say that, you know, I don't know about that brother. I don't know about that sister. And then now we're going to where it goes into the scripture of 1 John chapter 4. Remember, try the spirits whether they're of God. And the spirit of Antichrist declares that or denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And so when we take that back and look through, then remember the devil doesn't do things outright. He doesn't say, I openly deny the word of God. He didn't say to Eve, he says, yeah, all that stuff that God told you, just dump it. But he kind of sugarcoated it or whitewashed it a little bit. And so remember, when a spirit moves into the congregation and or a thought moves into somebody or somebody begins to say something about somebody else and they won't outright say that, hey, that person is not right or that person is off the word, but they kind of gently say something to put a little doubt or a thought there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because that's how the way the devil moves, very slick and slowly. So he's going to say, what did you think about what that brother or that sister did or what that person said? Remember, then it begins to build. Now the devil can start to work. Then he begins to start to build a seed there. Then that seed begins to germinate, if we let it germinate, right? And then it begins to form into a complex. And then we begin to think a certain way about the brother or sister. And then you see how it starts to separate the brothers and sisters. Now you don't want to talk because you feel like, hey, that person maybe is not right or contaminated or off the word or something like that. You see how that works. And so remember the devil. We've got to remember these scriptures that he says in our minds about, you know, this denying that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Remember how Jesus, the Pharisees, they wanted to, they knew the scriptures. They knew the law of Moses. They knew all these things. But yet they could not see the Jesus of the day, right? Because it was spiritually discerned and it took the Spirit to reveal that. But remember what they were doing to Jesus. They kept on saying things a little bit here and there. They said, he's not right, or something about him here or there. That same spirit moves today. Remember, spirits don't die. People die. So that same spirit's going to move within the congregation and get us to think differently about somebody else. So he says we must have love one for another. First thing, the fruit he took off was brotherly love. That's the one thing that kills the church right there on brotherly love. Yes, sir. Then the next fruit he took off the tree, he began to take off the other fruits. He talks about faith and the word, different ones, fruits of the Spirit. He began to take those off one by one. And so now you start to lose the manifestation of the Spirit of God. Now he does this. Then this little fellow died out and he became a locust. Now he's changing his form. That was the next stage, was a locust. Now what does a locust do? A locust eats the leaves. That's right. A locust takes onto the leaves. What the palmer worm left, he left the leaves. He ate all the fruit off the tree. Then what took it? What took in? The locusts come to eat what the palmer worm left. Now what did he do? What did the palmer worm do? He destroyed the leaves. What's the leaves for? Destroying divine fellowship. So remember, first he's taking about the love. Maybe they're still fellowshipping, right? But now he's destroying that fellowship around the people of God, around the Word of God. Now he's Presbyterian. He won't have nothing to do with them. He's Nazarene. He's Pentecostal. He's this, that, or the other. He won't have nothing to do with them because he don't belong to our group. So now, you know, remember we talked about last time that Brother Branham used forms of that day. Nazarene, Pentecostal, Baptist, television, Elvis Presley, Pat Boone. But now we've got to look what he was saying spiritually of this day. Remember, we have to catch the Jesus of our day. We have to catch the Jesus in flesh manifestation for today. Because remember, the devil wants us to look at a historical God. So he wants us to take the things that Brother Branham said and bring it back to that form. Remember, but God changes his form. The devil changes his form. And so we've got to see the form he's transformed into today. And so we take that word of God and take to catch the Spirit and then let Him reveal to us so our eyes are open for this day. And so remember that those men going to the road to Emmaus, they were remembering the flesh that Jesus, they saw Jesus before the crucifixion. But when they began to walk on the remote road to Emmaus, He was in a different form. And so they could not see Him by the flesh of their eyes. But when they began to walk, they caught the Spirit. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us? And their eyes were open and they knew Him, the Scripture says. And so we've got to see what Brother Branham was talking about in the 1960s and 1950s and bring it to our day today. So now, talking about this, he says, destroying divine fellowship, Presbyterian, Nazarene, Pentecostal. Now you can bring it today. And what is moving in the message of the hour? Because these spirits are moving in the message of the hour. They're causing divisions in churches, in congregations. They're causing, you know, separations between the ministry and the laity. They're causing all these things that we see right now, but we've got to catch it as the Spirit is moving. He's this, that, or the other. He won't have nothing to do with them because he don't belong to our group. Have you heard that in the message? He don't belong. He's off the word. He don't belong to our group. He don't believe it like I believe it. See, that same spirit. He cut all the fellowship off. That's right. Took all the fellowship. What is fellowship? What does the leaves do? Makes it cool. Where the birds fly in under the leaves. Huh? Cool off. There's your tree again. And he shall be like a tree that's planted. See? All right, where people can come and sit down under the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, cool off a little bit. When we come to church, it should be just that same way. When we're in the fellowship of the brothers and sisters, it's such a unity, the Spirit of God moving, the love of Christ moving, that we don't want to leave here. And Brother Branham talks about it, you know, the love so much, you know, as an example in the congregation at Jeffersonville, love so much that people would cry as they were departing from one another. Such a unity, such a love there. And so we want that with us. Amen. We want that Spirit of God. And so we, in order for us to see that, we've got to first, remember he says in the Ephesian or the church age book, he says to discern that spirit and therefore resist that spirit. And so when we see the spirit of separation coming in, we've got to discern that and resist that spirit. Because if we let it continue on, it'll make our church cold, formal, and powerless. He said, you're all frustrated and don't know what's happened and whether you die, whether you're saved or not. You don't know whether this church is right or that's right. Just come under the tree that's got some leaves on it. Sit down there. Let the winds from heaven go to blow like a rushing mighty wind through the leaves, you know, begins to, and it began to cool off a little bit. And so he says here about the different situations. He said, talking about a situation of this one sister, he says, but you know what we're supposed to do? The Bible says that the predestinated church, the predestinated sons in God, what do they do? Set in heavenly places. What is it? Coolness, comfort, feeling at home. Amen. Where everybody is wearing a tuxedo and the next man this way and some of them is this. Huh, look, she never got a permit in her hair. Don't she look horrible? She don't even have... See, that's the other spirit we're talking about. He says here, I said to a little woman the other day, poor little woman, she belonged to a great dignified church now. She said, that's not where we want to be. She's dying with cancer. Went down to pray for her. Brother Roy Roberson here, one of the trustees, sent me down there. The poor little thing sitting there dying with cancer. And she said, I said, are you a Christian? She said, sir, I don't know what to say. I said, I went to a certain church and said, and she started crying. I said, what's the matter? Said, I just couldn't dress right. Said, they looked down upon me, huh? Oh, there you are. See, you're uncomfortable, see? But the Bible said that we are to assemble ourselves together in heavenly places. So we ought not to look at people, how they look, how they're dressed, what position they have in society, how much money they make, what is their social class or situation like that. I'm going to read here something, if I can, if you just let me here for a second. I think I mentioned this before, but there was a question posed, Brother Branham. Brother Branham, in the 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34 and 35 says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. For it is a shame for women to speak in church. Now if a woman with short hair speaks in tongues, in churches, in church, is it the Spirit of the Holy Ghost that speaks through her, or is it a false spirit? Very good question. We're trying to discern spirits. Now, I could not judge because I was not sent to judge. So if Brother Branham says he was not sent to judge, then amen. But I think there's so many times. I got another question down here somewhere that goes right along with that. But if a person is speaking in tongues, they are anointed of God. See, they may be out of order. That may be true. And they may be doing something that's not right. But I wouldn't want to say that it wasn't the Holy Spirit because I wouldn't know, see? And that's why he says we have to let things ride themselves out and manifest themselves. Remember he said, don't pull out the tares. Just let them alone. Remember he said, Jannes and Jambres, he says, these men will rise up in the last day and they are supposed to rise up in our day today. But he says their folly was made manifest. And so by their fruits you shall know them. They will manifest themselves and say what they are. Now he says, and now there's many times at this that people misjudge one another. Does that happen? Sure it does. And it's a bad thing to do. You say, why she's got short hair. She's wearing a dress that's too short. That's not the Holy Spirit upon her. Are we to do that? He says this, don't do that. Don't do that. That's not right. You don't know what's in that woman's heart. You don't know nothing about it. You know that the Holy Spirit would make her conduct herself a little better. Now, that may be true. But I'll tell you, as you and I, let God do the judging of that. And let you and I just pray for that person that God will show them the light. We don't know all the situations with people. We don't know the story. We think we know the story, but we don't. And there's so many things behind it, but yet we want to make an assumption. We want to make a conclusion. But he says not to do that. Here, some time ago, a man met me out here aside. I had a pianist here that had a little short little skirt. And wasn't just exactly, I guess, just right. And the lady had short hair. And she was just a babe in this way. And she was playing the piano. And a man met me out there and just tearing me to pieces. He said, and you're a Pentecostal preacher? And let that woman sit up there, that short hair, and just going on like everything? Well, I said, I think the woman has a good spirit in her. Certainly do not agree with that. You know, the skirt part up here. The two pieces, one of them is down here and one kind of up here. It's a shirt like they wear. And so it's real thin and shows that underneath garment that they have around there. I don't think that should be done. I don't like that. He's saying that what the way she's dressed, he doesn't agree with it. But he says she has a good spirit. I really don't. Now, I can't say they might be just as spirit-filled as anybody else. I don't know. God knows that. But I wouldn't condemn that woman and say that she was going to hell by the sight. This same person had in his church a lady who had long hair and wore long dresses and had a temper enough to fight a buzzsaw. So what do you think about that? And just as mean as she could be. Now long hair and long skirts don't take you to heaven. No, sir. It's the spirit that's in you. Takes you to heaven. But if you as a Christian, now he says, then you should remember that many times pastors don't mention those things and the people, he's talking about the way that we should dress, and the people just automatically go on think it's all right, but a pastor should really tear into that. Now he's talking about, now, and then the sisters of the church, those sisters who are in character standing, so proven themselves, right? And their conduct and things like that have a reputation, their proven reputation. Wearing their clothes neatly, they should be examples of sweetness and motherly and sisterly like. And I think that any woman that's motherly and godly and sisterly ought to go to such a person and with sweetness of the spirit, not you're wrong, right? Just sit down and talk to that lady. If she is of God, the Holy Spirit will understand those things and she'll correct herself. But when you real quickly condemn her and drive her away, you might harm that young born baby. So we've got to do things and be led by the Spirit of God and the sweetness of God. So I wouldn't condemn the person. Now, I want to read something here from... Remember, we don't know who's who and what's what in people's hearts, right? Stephen did not know what was in Paul's heart when Paul was sitting there condemning Stephen to death, right? And approving of those people throwing rocks at him and just sitting there nodding. Stephen could have said, look at that man, you know, vengeance is mine. See, he could have said something like that, but what? The Spirit of God overtook him and he projected love. That's the position that he was in, right? And that's the example for us. But, you know, Brother Branham says that spirit that was projected from Stephen, it got next to Paul. It bothered him. It was tormenting him almost in a way. He says, how could that guy, you know, say that when I was, you know, putting him to death and it was bothering him? And so it was the Lord bringing condemnation on him, right, and convicting him. And we know that that was the step towards his conversion. Because when he met God, then he fully surrendered himself to God. And so God allows that. You know, the story that Brother Branham gives about Zacchaeus and Zacchaeus getting upset about, you know, being told about these different things, and he gets upset. And, you know, people, when they get under that spirit of condemnation, it makes them mean sometimes. But then that's God bringing them closer. How many of you heard of people that have been told the truth of the message of the hour, different scripture things, and, you know, serpent seed or whatever it may be, they get really mad, right? Because it brings them under conviction or condemnation. But then that's God moving them closer to him. So, you know, Stephen doing that with Paul, and Paul being one of those men. And so we don't know who they are. And so we just project love and we project Christ to people regardless. So in the message that God had explained, Brother Branham brings this example. He makes this statement first. He says, as long as you fuss, you are both wrong. See, because I would rather be wrong in my doctrine. Now, this is a separation we're talking about over doctrine. And so the devil tries to bring a wedge in there to separate brothers. He says, see, because I would rather be wrong in my doctrine and right in my heart than to be right in my doctrine and wrong in my spirit, or wrong in my heart. See, I said, after all, it's your heart's condition. And so when you have a humble and right heart, you can be corrected. But if you have the right doctrine, but you have the wrong heart, then you say, no, it's got to be this way. Right? And you will not give in. Now he says, I made that practice to know this, that if a man, no matter what he does and how much he differs and what he says about me, if I'm in my heart, not from just a duty, but from my heart, I can't love that man as well as I love anyone else, then I know there's something wrong in here. See, that's right. And so if you have a disagreement with a brother or a sister and you don't love them or you can't love them, then there's something wrong. You cannot help that person. You cannot deal with that person. You cannot correct that person because you need to be corrected yourself. And so we need to go into prayer. Remember the increase of the love of God, prayer and the Word of God. We've got to go into prayer and the reading of the Word of God. Little brother come not long ago, little Church of Christ brother. And oh, he stood up there and he said, this guy is a devil. Talking about Brother Branham. See, he said, he says of the Holy Ghost, he said, there is no such thing. Only the 12 disciples or apostles received the Holy Ghost. And divine healing was only given to those 12 apostles and went on about half an hour. And I said, just a moment, brother. I think you ought to give me a chance to defend this. See? I said, you said that you spoke where the Bible spoke and was silent where it was silent. And he said, we do. I said, now you said there was just the 12 apostles received the Holy Ghost. The Bible said there was 120 in the upper room when the Holy Ghost fell, women and all. And would you mind to tell me, do you think Paul didn't have the Holy Ghost? And he received a long time after that, see? Now, I believe that Brother Branham, when he was talking to him in sweetness of the Spirit of God. And Stevens went down a few days later, and he wasn't one of the 12. He was not even a preacher. He was a deacon. And went down to Samaria, cast out devils. I said, oh, brother, it was very silent right here where he had to keep it. And after it was over, but I said, I forgive you for calling me a devil. Because I know you didn't mean that. And then when he got finished, he come up, he said, there's one thing I can say. You have the Spirit of Christ. Amen. See, he was calling Brother Branham a devil. He was railing him, right? And then as Brother Branham approached him and then he says, I forgive you. He talked about in love. This man says, you have the Spirit of Christ. Amen. But I tell you, see, because that a man, he could tell that I loved him. No matter. He was disagreeing and horribly disagreeing and lambasting. I'm a hunter with wild beasts all my life. And people have said how the time when I had to kill that bear with a knife, see, said, wasn't you afraid of him? I said, no, if I would have been afraid of him, he would kill me, see? But you see, you can't bluff them. You've got to have it inside. And when that love projected fear goes away, because you're not relying on yourself, you're relying on God, right? Let's all stand. They know whether they're afraid of them or not. You be afraid of a horse and watch what a horse will do. He'll stomp you, see? So if you're afraid, you can't bluff it. You've really got to have it. You can't manufacture God. You know, we can't try to live this message. We can't try to do these things. It's got to be in us. Amen. And that love is there, and then it causes us to obey the Word of God and live this Word of God. He says, that's the way it is with Satan. I know my time's going. That's the way it is among men. You've got to love men. You can't just bluff it. You've got to have it, or your colors will show somewhere, see? Because God is perfect, right? But when you do it your own way, things will break apart because you're only human. They know you love him. See, there's something about it. The man said, called my wife a few days ago and said, is Brother Branham there? Said, no. Said, well, one thing I have to say, I disagreed with him in theology. And we can disagree with theology. But I say he's a servant of Christ. Well, then before I left, he sent a letter to me and he said, I'm coming up. As soon as you get back, I want that baptism of the Holy Ghost that you're talking about. Amen. And that's grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you, O Lord, for your word, O Lord. And Lord, to open our eyes, to help us to see, O Father. And Lord Jesus, we know that the devil wants to separate us, O Father. Build complexes in our mind, O Lord Jesus. Build a denominational spirit. And Lord Jesus, we know that you see otherwise. And Lord, let you take full control, O Lord, of each of our lives, submitting ourselves, and let the love of God pour through, O Father, and then just move within us, O Lord, and then from us to others, dear Lord Jesus, so we be a walking vessel of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us. It is only by your grace, O Lord, that we can do this. Lord, bless the song service and the preaching of a word, O Lord. Lord Jesus, have your way, have your will, dear Lord, as we move forward. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. 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 Please be seated.